Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
We used to be wise, trust the ones who always made money and stable funds. But now I'm hurting, lost my stash, because Bernie said he'll make me some cash.
Hey, Bernie!
Bernie, why'd you hurt me so bad?
Bernie made up
with all of our cash.
Bernie made up.
Had a 20-year bash.
What would you like to say to Bernie Madoff? And what question would you like to ask him? Now's your chance to get it off your chest. If you were a victim, or one of your loved ones was a victim of the Bernie Madoff Ponzi scheme. You see, Bernie Madoff goes to court today, as Richard Hake was just explaining, for the first of at least two scheduled appearances this week. And if all goes according to plan, he will appear again on Thursday in open court to plead guilty to some version of the Ponzi scheme that he pulled on approximately 14,000 victims, from Elie Wiesel to the owner of the Mets to maybe you. And this is where you and our program come in today, because on Thursday, before Madoff is sentenced, victims will have the opportunity to address him in open court. I don't think New York State law will allow that catharsis to be carried by the media, so we're going to give you a shot to do the same right here, right now. If you were a victim, or someone you know was a victim of Bernie Madoff and his Ponzi scheme, what would you like to say to Bernie Madoff? What question would you like to ask him? Our lines are open right now, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or you can post your comment or your question to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Apparently, Judge Chin is going to have to limit the number of people who can actually do this in court because of space and because of time. There is an email address. I'm looking for it. I think I have it here somewhere. Oh, this is it. This is the actual email address to do this in court. USANYS, like USA New York State, USANYS.Madoff@USDOJ.gov. Ha. Huh. But Clyde Haberman suggests in his New York Times column today that instead of this little courtroom, they hold the hearing at Citi Field. So the Mets' new ballpark, named for taxpayer-owned Citigroup, could actually host something in the public interest. But short of that, we are opening our phones and website right now for your one-minute statements and questions to Bernard Madoff. If you are personally a victim of his Ponzi scheme, or if you personally know anyone who was, 212-433-WNYC. Our lines are filling up fast. Or post it to WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. If we don't allow cameras and microphones in the courtroom in New York State, we'll just have to give you the chance to do it on the air, outside of court, right here, right now, if you want to take the opportunity. 212-433-9692, or post to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. Some of the things you might want to talk about: well, what sentence do you think Bernie Madoff should get? He's about 70 years old, 70. He's exactly 70, I think. So it will probably amount to life in prison in any case. But be creative if you want. Indulge a fantasy, if you want, short of what Dick Cheney would consider legitimate interrogation techniques, I hope. But what kind of sentence should Bernie Madoff get? 212-433-9692, and now all our lines are full. And what questions would you like to ask Mr. Madoff? And some people who may want to call in for this segment: Kevin Bacon, you want to call in? John Malkovich? Sandy Koufax? Jeffrey Katzenberg, CEO of DreamWorks? Steven Spielberg, on behalf of your charity, the Wunderkinder Foundation? World Trade Center developer Larry Silverstein, do you want to call in? Elie Wiesel, do you want to call in? Elliot Spitzer, who revealed that his family real estate firm had invested money with Madoff. Frank Lautenberg, you want to call in? And any of you, we're going to be talking a little bit more about Spitzer later in the hour on this first anniversary of the day that his escapades were revealed. Or maybe you want to sound off like Congressman Gary Ackerman did the other day.
I am frustrated beyond belief. We're talking to ourselves and you're pretending to be here. I really don't understand what's going on. I figured you were coming here, you're going to testify before Congress, and don't dare tell anybody you testified before Congress. You're going to be subjected to violation of false advertising lawsuits, all right? You've told us nothing. You couldn't find your backside with two hands if the lights were on. Could you explain yourselves?
All right. There, I think he was talking to some of the so-called legitimate bankers. Gary Ackerman, also known for ranting against Bernie Madoff. Martin in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Martin.
Hi, good morning. Well, so my question is,
yes,
how do you get into that line of work?
That
I mean, what do you study in college, and how do you get ready to do it? Because I really have to admire the guy. He broke all Ponzi records.
It's like they said in The Graduate, one word, plastics. Maybe for your grandchild, one word, Ponzi. But you need the right education. Okay, Martin, thank you very much. Stephanie in Kings Park, you're on WNYC. Hi, Stephanie.
Hi, Brian. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you. Were you hit?
My grandmother, who is 84 years old, became a widow about a year and a half ago. My grandfather had invested everything with Madoff, and my grandmother has nothing. And, you know, we're not in a position to take care of her. She's in Florida. She is living in an assisted living facility, and pretty soon her savings is going to run out. And she had depended on her investments to stay alive for the rest of her life. And we don't know what we're going to do.
That is so horrible. Have you been trying to get some of the money back under the restitution fund program that Congress has? Apparently some checks have gone, that the federal government has, some checks have gone out.
Well, her accountant is working on that with her. Ironically, he also lost money in the Madoff scheme, so he has a vested interest in trying to help her personally. But, you know, we don't know, because that's it. When for someone on a fixed income, and, you know, if I had an opportunity to speak to him, I would like to say, how would you feel if this were you or your grandmother or your mother or your sister? You know, it's just, it's unbelievable how this man can live with himself every day.
Do you even care what kind of a sentence he gets, or is it so irrelevant to what you're going through with your grandmother now that it doesn't even matter whether he gets 10 years or 20 years or whatever it is?
Well, it's a difficult thing, because I would like to see him suffer, you know? And it's a horrible thing to think, and I never wish anybody suffering, but someone who has caused this kind of pain for so many people, I don't think he should have one moment of joy. And he's living in a penthouse.
Is it the first time you've ever felt that way about anyone?
Yeah, it is. It's so personal to me. I've been very fortunate in my life, and I've never had this kind of personal, you know, attachment to pain like this. And so, it is the first time I've ever felt like this.
Stephanie, thank you for calling. Good luck with
thank
your grandma.
You, thank you.
You know, isn't that interesting? If you or someone you know was ripped off by Bernie Madoff, do you want him punished only for justice? You know, this is what we always say, right? Nice liberal people say, for deterrence only, so that other people are not tempted to do something similar and think they can get off with a slap on the wrist, whatever the crime is. Is this the one case where you're having fantasies of revenge? I bet a lot of progressive people who decry revenge as a motive in the justice system, like if you were mugged by a kid on the street, let's say, feel powerful desires for revenge against Mr. Madoff, and that Stephanie there is hardly alone. Is that a motivator for you right now? Abby in New Jersey, you're on WNYC. Hi, Abby.
I would definitely enjoy knowing that he was sitting in a cold, dark cell and alone with his conscience for the rest of his life. It sounds a little harsh. It totally goes against my grain. I'm normally someone who has a lot of compassion. But he really, and I appreciate the last caller very much, because I think what she raised is the fact that it wasn't just famous people and wealthy people that were destroyed financially by this man. It was a lot of people who spent their whole lives working very, very hard. My grandparents, my parents were not wealthy people, and they put their trust in this man. And, you know, my parents are about to go into their retirement in a very, very scary place, having lost over 80% of their assets. And it's horrifying.
How did they get involved with him?
My grandfather was on Long Island, and as a doctor there, and it was just through word of mouth. And you know, I'm not completely sure. It was through my grandfather.
Mm-hmm. Is there any question?
And
that...
word of mouth in the Jewish community, unfortunately. He was thought to be an ethical person. You know, it was widely known that there were Jewish organizations throughout the country that were putting their trust in him. And that really bode well for him, unfortunately.
There's an article in the Forward, you know, the Jewish newspaper?
Absolutely.
And it's a spoof article that says the Anti-Defamation League is giving Bernie Madoff an award for
right.
being inadvertently good for the Jews, busting the stereotype that Jews are good with money.
Right. Right. Well, you know, then the other side of the coin is that there are people who say that he's the worst thing to happen to the Jewish community since Hitler, which is also fairly extreme. I would never make that kind of comparison before in my life. But in this situation, when you look at what's happening, not just to my own family, but to Jewish organizations and charitable organizations that have been completely wiped out, that were doing so much good in the world and so much good for so many people who are really in need, that to me... Forget the personal aspect of this. That, for me, is the most horrific angle of this whole thing, is the people who saved to give.
Abby, what Jew would steal $15 million from Elie Wiesel?
You know, one who really has something mentally wrong with them and no conscience. And that's why I want him to sit in a cold, dark place and really spend the rest of his life thinking about the ramifications of this.
Abby, thank you for calling.
Thank you.
Call in for victims of Bernard Madoff. What would you say to him if you had the opportunity, which a few people will have in open court on Thursday? Laurel in Manhattan, you're on WNYC. Hi, Laurel.
Hi. My daughter-in-law works for a nonprofit who had a contributor that was just taken to the cleaners by this man, and so they lost a large donation from this particular charity because of him. And I would say that I would never say anything to Bernie Madoff. He's the kind of man that if you got up in front of him, he would enjoy it. He's sick. He's a sick psychopathic person. And I think the only way you can get to him is through his family. And I believe that Ruth Madoff, and I believe his sons were also involved in this. And I think that they should all be investigated. And I think that might be the only way, the only thing that Madoff cares about is maybe his family. And I think he's so sick that, first of all, I would never let that man see me squirm, because I've seen pictures of him in his penthouse. You've seen him on, like, different shows. He's very comfortable with himself. He's very comfortable with himself.
He looks smug when you see him, right?
Yep. He doesn't care. I mean, so I would never give that man the pleasure of seeing me be uncomfortable in front of him.
That's so interesting. So you'll do it here. You'll do it for the rest of the world, but you don't want him to see.
Yeah, never. If he, I hope he's not listening. But I mean, he's a real. And another thing, the reason why he should, you mentioned it, the reason he should be punished is because there are other people out there who are of the same ilk, and they have got to know that this kind of thing can't happen. And everyone in this kind of situation, he's not the only one. He just did it on a grand scale. They've got to have these severe punishments, because we can't have this kind of thing in our country.
Laurel, thank you very much for your call. Hang in there, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, Laurel mentioned the relatives. There is, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what happens in court on Thursday, just at the level of what the plea agreement is. What is he actually going to plead guilty to? Somebody said, I don't care if it's double parking, you know, if it puts him away for the rest of his life. And what's going to happen to this money? His wife is claiming $62 million is hers and is not ill-begotten gains, so this should be protected from any restitution fund. but it's those of you who are calling in who might get something back for your parents, for your grandparents, for whomever, from that $62 million, if that's the actual number. And so that's one of the things that definitely remains to be seen. And on this comparing him to Hitler and the worst, listen to this. This is from Clyde Haberman's column in the Times, too. He says, years ago, the Brooklyn-born writers Pete Hamill and Jack Newfield talked about a possible magazine article that would identify the 10 worst people of the 20th century. Each made a list, but stopped after three names. When they compared notes, they discovered that each had written down the same men in the same order: Hitler, Stalin, and Walter O'Malley. Now, Walter O'Malley, for those of you who don't know, is the guy who moved the Dodgers out of Brooklyn to Los Angeles. And they were only half joking, were Pete Hamill and Jack Newfield. So now, Clyde called up Pete Hamill, and Hamill adds a fourth name to the list, because a lot of Madoff's chicanery was in the 20th century: Bernie Madoff. So this is, you know, this is just another reflection of what we're hearing from our callers. Hitler, Stalin, Walter O'Malley, and Bernie Madoff, says Pete Hamill. Who's next? How about Elaine in Fort Lee? Elaine, you're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, how are you today? The question that I would ask him is, how do you live with yourself? But I don't think there's an answer, because he is a sociopath. He has no conscience whatsoever. And I agree with the two callers that went before me.
Go ahead.
I agree with the two callers that went ahead with me, because I believe that his wife, his sons, they were all involved. I don't think he cares about anyone, and that includes them. And they should be investigated. And the caller who said he should be put in a cell by himself, I think he should be isolated from the rest of the population, because maybe, though I don't think it'll happen, he'll think about what he did. But I think he's a sociopath.
Elaine, thank you very much. From our webpage, that December 2008 day that you were sneaking $17.5 million to your wife's account to hide it from law enforcement, Merrill Lynch's John Thane was openly giving his friends $4 billion. You can't even steal right, writes Super F 88.
Well, my name's Bernie Madoff, yes, you've seen me on TV. I pulled off the biggest Ponzi scheme in history. While the SEC was napping, I stole 50 billion clams, ripped off people in America and every foreign land, scammed actors, bankers, writers, lawyers, universities, synagogues and churches, pension funds and charities, talk show hosts, baseball stars, Miss America too. Better check your 401k, because I might have ripped off you.
All right, so that's a Madoff country song, even though he calls him Madoff, from the Ballad of Bernie Madoff from Flinch Studios. And somebody made a Christmas song about Bernie Madoff. Kevin Rockauer.
Mr. Santa, help me if you can, sir. I have nothing left in my portfolio. For Christmas, can I have my Christmas bonus? 'Cause good old Bernie Madoff with my dough.
Jim in Manhattan, you're on WNYC.
Yes, good morning. I think it's terrible for what he did to the charities, but this should be a big learning experience. People don't know anything about hedge funds. Hedge funds have been more responsible for where the market is now, down so much, than anything else. There's no regulation of them. First of all, you have to have a lot of money to be in a hedge fund. There's no regulation. That's the terrible thing. They're responsible, and sometimes I'm talking ones that on a scam like him, that have knocked the market down to what it is. Good companies should not be selling at the price they are right now. We have to regulate hedge funds. Learn from this experience.
Jim, thank you very much. And somebody else posts on our page, while it doesn't make me happy to see people lose money, at the same time I wonder if their own greed is also at fault. Why not put money in government-guaranteed banks or other guaranteed bonds instead? If people are trying to maximize their money and invest with a private person, a risk of dishonesty or loss is always there. It is even more irresponsible for universities, charities, and foundations to have invested this way. Bob in Queens, what do you think about that?
Well, I was going to comment about that, but I have to say the comparisons of between Bernie Madoff and Hitler are unconscionable. Money will always come back. Those lives will not. This kind of talk is way too loose.
A little bit of perspective.
So let's set that aside. The real problem is, as the parallel is in the housing market, people got into something that looked too good to be true. Madoff kept making steadily 10 to 12% over the years. People saw this. They said, I'm getting on this gravy train. People have to take personal responsibility for wanting to sidle up to Bernie.
Thank you very much. And we'll give Elie Wiesel the last word in this recent Elie Wiesel quote. He said he would have a TV in Madoff's cell 24 hours a day with pictures and personal statements of all of his victims. So there are a few of them from some of you. We'll see what those few people who get to do it in open court on Thursday have to say. Thanks to all of you for your calls from all of us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, you know, it was 1 year ago today that Elliot Spitzer's behavior was revealed. We will have an update on the legal issues that have come to light as a result of his individual case. Stay with us.